Welcome to the podcast show by Keevan Davani, The Total Connector, Total Bitcoin, Austrian Economics, the hardest and scarcest money ever created in human history, Bitcoin.
Welcome to the Total Connector show. My name is Keevan Davani. I got here in Nopara. He's as he calls himself on Twitter, the software artist, or you can also, we can also call him the lead developer at Wasabi Wallet. Is that correct? Nopara, why don't you just introduce yourself? Thanks so much for coming on my show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yes, you can say I'm the lead developer, but I'm not really leading anyone because people are really enthusiastic. So they find things by themselves what to work on.
All right. Now, I've been following you for quite some time, and you know, and all the updates and the information that's coming from Wasabi Wallet, and I have myself downloaded Wasabi Wallet. But to be honest with you, I've never transacted with it. I have not a single Satoshi on it. I just wanted, you know, in case I thought if I, you know, download like many other people are planning to or are thinking of doing a full node, which I'm still far away from that. I thought, why don't you give us, you know, a little bit of insight, or, you know, what is the, why don't you just tell us a little bit, the listeners and the viewers, what's the bigger picture behind Wasabi Wallet? What was the primary intention and vision of Wasabi, and for what kind of target audience is it for actually?
Mm-hmm. So it started out as a privacy project, and it is still a privacy project, but now we have a lot of power users, and it ended up being a very, very advanced wallet. So you can use it as your main desktop wallet, except if you have a full node and you want to run a full node, because now you can connect Wasabi to your full node, but it's not a fully featured connection, like you're not using it for validation, only for downloading blocks. But we want to ship with Bitcoin Core in the future. So that's the APL there for if you are using a full node other than the privacy. That it's a Bitcoin wallet. You can do many things with it. I'd like to think it is intuitive, but lately I've been getting different feedback. I mean, so it was very intuitive in the beginning, and it I think still is, but now we are getting into the mainstream, and the mainstream thinks differently of what intuitive and than what the Bitcoin cyberpunks are, who were our main users. So now actually just a couple of days ago, I created a feature freeze. I made a feature freeze and talked to the developers that, okay, look, more and more people think that Wasabi is less and less user friendly. So now we have to stop developing features and have to start concentrating on the user experience for a while until the reports are stopped coming in. So I am very, very aware of the problem. And I wouldn't say it's a huge problem, because if you have ever used the Bitcoin wallet in desktop before, then you will be able to use Wasabi. It just, now we have more mainstream users, and we have to serve them too, not only the cyberpunks.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going for. Because, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know the people. I would ask them whether they would be willing to, you know, get to know Wasabi Wallet and educate themselves, I'm not sure whether they would be ready. Now, when you say mainstream users, what kind of mainstream users are those? Are these the mainstream users who have, let's say, a little bit more than the average person, you know, experience, knowledge? an interaction or background information, you know, how to install, what to look out for, you know, security measures. I mean, there's so many side steps and in between steps that need to be taken. What do you think from your perspective are the real challenges, the hurdles for, you know, really a mainstream adoption?
So mainstream adoption on Wasabi or on Bitcoin in general?
On Wasabi, yeah. On Wasabi.
Yeah, let's keep it in context. So in Wasabi, the only goal was where we were developing our user experience that if you have ever used a Bitcoin wallet before on a desktop, then you will be able to use Wasabi. But now, so I noticed this, that many, many people have never used a desktop Bitcoin wallet or not even a blockchain info like Bitcoin wallet. They either use the mobile wallet or just an exchange that was their Bitcoin wallet. So this is the biggest challenge, to how to make them able to use a software, because you have to teach them a lot of things. Some things are non-negotiable. So I'm very okay with compromising on many things, but the only thing that I am not okay with compromising is that what ruins privacy. So yeah. I would say the only complexity in Wasabi is because of privacy, or because we were just, I wouldn't say lazy, but we had features what we see that, oh, this takes a long time to implement, and if we implement it this way, it's a bit more complex from a user's perspective, but it's easier to implement. And now we are not going to reduce complexity where privacy is important. We are reducing complexity on those features what we implemented because it was easy those way. So we will implement those features in a easier to use way instead of easier to implement way. Yeah.
Excellent. You know, the reason I'm saying this, because I mean, I would say for myself that I have pretty much experience, compared to the average person out there who has never, you know, dealt with Bitcoin or a wallet but still I'm a layman. I would call myself still a layman, even though experienced. Now, I had, as I already told you and wrote, you know, a feedback to Wasabi, you know, whatever, what it was on GitHub or Reddit or whatever, is that I already had installed the Wasabi wallet. And then when the update came, I really had to reinstall the whole thing because I couldn't do the update myself. I couldn't certify or, you know, check whether there's, you know, the digital certificate or whatever it's called is legitimate, is valid, is authentic. Then it didn't work out, you know, like really little things. I'm sure it would have worked out if I had like an assistant, but in the end I was like, okay, I got my mnemonic passphrase, so it should be no problem. I just deinstalled the whole thing, reinstalled it, and so I had the latest version on my desktop finally. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's okay if it's a little bit technical, if people need to, think along the lines and between the lines. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it may be, really clear instructional, I don't know, videos or you know, instructions that is, you know, easily comprehensible by the average person would be a great help, you know, in boosting sort of the acceptance and the, you know, and the usage and the easy usage of the Wasabi wallet. What do you think about that?
Regarding installation, verifying the file that it comes from me is admittedly quite hard. Now, many people don't do that. And if you don't do that, then it's just you download and click install and that's it. But it seems like what you even had problems with this. I don't understand. you had problems with the without verification stuff?
Yeah, I just, you know, there's these instructions on GitHub, you know, what you have to do, what to look at, which file you have to click. I did all that. I followed all the instructions. I even, you know, tried different browsers on first on, you know, on Chrome and then on Firefox. Then I opened even the Tor browser separately. And then that didn't work out. So, you know, so I just did it very regular on Chrome. So I thought, okay, then there's this like AC, is that something like the file ACI or ACE file? That was supposed sort of to show me whether the source or the certificate is legitimate, authentic. That didn't work out either. So I'm like, I just followed instructions and it still didn't work. So I asked myself, you know, I don't know, am I too stupid for that? or are there like alternative ways to do that? And I'm like, you know, maybe we should have a little bit more, understanding and empathy with people that lack the experience with these kind of procedures. My desire, my wish is that it becomes really user-friendly. I think this user-friendliness, even though I know we are in the early stages of developing, you know, it must be a challenge. But do you see, I mean, what process do you see, I mean, that, you know, we can improve this, you know, situation a little bit for the average?
Yes. So the thing is, for Windows and OS X, you would not have to verify the signatures because in Windows, you have the code signing. So if you don't see a big red cross when you are installing the software, then the signature verification is verified because there is another way to verify signatures. So it's doing the exact same thing, just different. On OS X, it would be the exact same as Windows, but we don't do code signing in OS X. And there is a very simple reason for that our build processes are happening on Windows and Ubuntu and not on OS X. And the OS X sign tool is a proprietary software, so you cannot launch it from Windows or Ubuntu. So we have to add an OS X software to our build process, which is problematic because Apple doesn't let you to run a virtual machine on your computer, so we have to delegate it to the cloud. My point is that it's a surprisingly lot of work. Now, the signature verification should only be done on Linux, except now on OS X too, because of course we don't sign on OS X. Regarding Windows, maybe we should even take it down because it might even just confuse people. It's redundant in a way, right? You can, because Windows is doing the exact same thing with the code signing. So yeah, you're right. We have an issue opened on GitHub that we should simplify this process because, I mean, PGP, GPG is not the most user-friendly thing in the world, right? Okay. In fact, even on Linux, if we would put it on a repository, I think that thing would check signatures automatically. So, you know, I don't know, apt get whatever wasabi and install wasabi, and then that checks your signature instead of you are doing it manually. So yes, you know, it's a continuous process. We got this far and we know that we have to go this far and we are going that far, but we think we have bigger problems somewhere here. So before we are working on here, we are working on here. So yeah, sorry about that, but it's coming along very well over the problem. Some fine solution. What do you work on first? And we were we were working on hardware wallet integration and features, and now we have a feature freeze to fix up all these little problems. So that's what's going on in the background. I know it's not a good excuse. Well, on the bright side, I mean it's happening. It just not tomorrow.
Yeah, it needs time and patience and a lot of collaboration also with other people. I guess other experts. I got your Twitter page over here, and let me see, you got a really nice Medium page where you have tons of articles that you've published. I read through some of them. It's really amazing. Now, let me ask you a very simple question, Nopara. Now, the Wasabi wallet was or has been intended only as a desktop wallet, not as a mobile wallet ever, or am I, did I get wrong?
No, you got it right. Mm-hmm. It's not a mobile wallet because, I mean, again, new features, more complexity. What do you work on first? And mobile is something that we are not planning to work on for a long time. There are really fine mobile wallets out there.
Yeah. For example, Samurai. I mean, would you say Samurai is a good, reliable, you know, also concerning privacy? Is it a, you know, because I got one. I mean, would you say it's one of the, or would you, I don't know, or can you talk about it? Or can you give a sort of a evaluation on what mobile wallets, you know, are reliable, trustworthy, and in terms of privacy, really good?
I would not like to comment on Samurai.
Sure. Okay. Good. Okay.
The problems with light wallets in general is that how do you establish your wallet balance? How do you really know that? Like, how does your wallet really show that? Hey, you have this much money in your wallet, and this is a very surprisingly complex issue, because you know there is the blockchain with a 160 gigabyte of data, and you don't have that 160 gigabyte of data on your mobile, on your desktop, unless you are running a full node. If you run a full node, then establish your wallet balance from that 150 gigabytes. So there is no privacy leak there. It's on your data. You just on your disk, you just have to read it. Now the issue is when you don't have that data locally, then what do you do? You ask someone who has that data. And if you ask someone who has that data, then that someone knows that based on what you are asking, he knows exactly what information you are looking for. And this is one of the big part of Wasabi, that we were able to build a wallet in a way that you don't have that data locally, yet you don't expose sensitive information to anyone.
Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the whole point of a mobile wallet is, you know, to have this proverbial paying with for the coffee. Sort of, you have sort of a small petty cash on the mobile wallet, and I guess, you know, that's sort of the trade-off, that you say, you know, you don't have much, you have a couple of satoshis, so if you want to pay your coffee, whatever, a small thing with it, then you sort of accept that trade-off with all these, you know, features that you're talking about, right? Privacy, security, trustlessness, right? Am I right? I mean, I'm just talking out of a layman's perspective, because my concern is that, okay, are the people outside, you know, all these people outside that maybe tiptoeing slowly into Bitcoin and Satoshis, are they really grasping what this whole discussion is about in the background? you know, instead of, you know, just going, downloading it, installing and using it because out of necessity, because, you know, out of, you know, finally understanding what we are about to change here in the monetary decentralized system.
So you are accepting this trade-off because why? Because you don't have a choice, because no one yet built anything that makes you not accept that trade-off. So, but I mean, there are ways to do it. It's just a lot of engineering and a lot of blood, sweat, hard work. That's really about it. And you have to do it in a way that your users are not going to lose money. So it's not just a traditional engineering, traditional programming where you're just referencing every package from right and here. And because in Bitcoin, that if you're referencing the wrong package, right, NPM, there were a problem with the Node.js implementation, Bitcoin wallet implementations. They referenced an NPM. And that NPM referenced another NPM that maintainer gave the code to maintain to an anonymous contributor, and that anonymous contributor was just waiting for the opportunity to infect your wallet, right? So why does Bitcoin Core is so slow? Because they are not taking the shortcuts. So you can be more sure about that what they are doing is that your money is going to be safer and not going to be a prey for a really an attack that you just can't really do anything about it, right? Just
right.
As a user, I mean, you choose the wrong wallet and you're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. No, I understand what you say. I mean, that's why I guess most people, when they have a mobile wallet, they don't, you know, they don't load up more than they would actually need for, you know, a small transaction, whatever, coffee. So I guess, you know, would you say that the solutions are being worked on, or is it really a challenge until we have a really secure, reliable, trustless, and really full of privacy features mobile wallet? I mean, with all these, you know, terminology going on, with whatever channel here, channel there, Lightning Network here, and Schnorr signature, because people, I think, are really lost in that kind of technical terminology. And I guess at the end of the day, they just want to know, can I trust? You know, can I verify it or have it verified in some way or another without having to worry that my Satoshis are going to be lost because of some kind of incident?
It's a very good question. Yes, the solutions are not only being worked on, but people are providing solutions to different problems. And, you know, some people just has to bring them together. Like hardware wallets are working very hard on security. Bitcoin Core is working very hard on consensus and validation. And I'm working very hard on privacy. And I mean, there is really no good technical reason to not bring all this together. It just, the only reason is because it's a lot of work, you know, and someone has to do the work, and we are all doing the works. Mobile, yes, definitely. You will not be able to run a full node on mobile, but there are still solutions. Like you can connect to someone else's full node on your mobile, and that's a pretty good thing if you know that someone else. I expose my full node that's running in my room, and a lot of people would trust me to connect to it or something like that. I don't think I would do that, but these kind of things, there are a lot of things we have to find a sweet spot and also work on solutions and bring different solutions together. Yes, that's what I would say.
Let me ask you a practical question, Napara, because you know I had this friend who constantly said who is like really like cautious. He's like very reserved when it comes to Bitcoin still. He says, well, this is another, because he doesn't understand it, you know, he says it's another digital money, and then he's again monitored and surveyed by the state, by the government. So you know, he wants total privacy. So when I go to this article, there were a couple of keywords, but let's go to the Wasabi wallet, back to the, you know, features of Wasabi wallet. When you do a transaction with a Wasabi wallet, does that really mean, I mean, just, you know, if you can explain it in layman terms, for the average person, let's say an average person downloads and installs the Wasabi wallet, makes a transaction and wants to be sure, totally confident that his transactions or her transaction is definitely not exposed in any way, cannot be found out, cannot be monitored, surveyed, or whatever. Because, you know, privacy, I guess there's people have different motives for privacy, but would you say the Wasabi wallet stands for, you know, the ultimate privacy feature when you want to do, you know, a simple transaction? Or can you track it back?
Well, you see how far you want to go with this, because if someone puts a virus just to monitor you on your computer, then it doesn't matter what you're using, you're done. So there is always something that can be done to ruin someone's privacy, right? Or just simply putting a camera on their room, and so there is always something. What can we do against more, let's say, realistic attack scenarios? What are realistic attack scenarios that I like the most? Important, the most I like is that features, those are not visible, no one is talking about them because they are not visible. But one feature is that's not visible is that how we are querying, how we are establishing our wallet balances, because this is the huge issue that no other light wallet solved except Neutrino, Stratis V is my hidden wallet, but they are not that light. Never mind. This is a very invisible feature, and this contributes huge to your privacy, because you're not trusting in anyone to tell you the thing, and by telling you the thing, you're exposing that. Okay, that's one. The transaction broadcasting part is the exact same thing that who you are broadcasting it to anyway. Let's not go into it. That's another invisible privacy feature there, where many wallets can fail. Although it's not that easy to fail there, but still, not that hard either. Never mind. Transaction broadcasting and you wallet balance establishing. So that's two, invisible privacy feature. And there is on that, what's going on the blockchain. Now that's the big issue here, because anyone can look at the blockchain. So what can we do about it? And today, practically speaking, the only thing you can do about it is mixing. Now you could use a centralized mixer, which you send them the money. You don't have privacy against the centralized mixer because they know the links, and they might even steal your money because that's how they work. And anyway, they are not using equal amounts, so blockchain analysis companies can reverse the links easily, except with, actually there is one centralized mixer that is protecting you against, so that is using equal amounts, which called Chip Mixer, and I don't know if it's legit or not, but that's the only one that I see that at least doing something against this thing. So what else can you do? You can use Join Market, which is pretty cool, and Wasabi, and that's it. You were able to use Blockchain Info's shared coin. They discontinued it. I wasn't in I wasn't looking at it. They said it was not that good, and that's why they discontinued it. I don't know. It was better than nothing. So yeah, whatever. I don't know that much, but that was a very practical thing to do too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of that. That, you know, I mean, certainly it makes sense when you say, you know, there can always happen something. I mean, there's no guarantee. But I'm just saying, if you take the, you know, the precautionary measures, and you're, you know, careful and cautious enough and aware of all these things, and you know, I mean, if people, you know, are not naive or you know, do stupid stuff without thinking, I guess you can be on the safe side, right? I mean,
yeah, sure. I mean, if you're fire up your wasabi, click mix, it mixes, and then you can spend the mixed coins. It's really that simple. I mean, I'm really overcomplicating it because I'm going into the explanation, but yeah. From a user perspective, I think it's really that simple. And unless you do very, very stupid things, then you don't have to worry about anything. What is a very stupid thing to do? To grab your hardware wallet, put all your money into Wasabi, mix all your money into Wasabi, and then put back your hardware wallet. Why is it a stupid thing to do? Because your hardware wallet communicates with your hardware wallet provider to establish your wallet balance. So basically your hardware wallet provider see that, hey, you sent out money this much, 5 Bitcoin, and 5 Bitcoin mixed Bitcoin came back to the same wallet. So, I mean, you can't protect people from that. Of course, we have that hardware wallet integration now, so it's not that bad anymore, but there are some, yes, so Wasabi should be used as a spending wallet. It was not really figured out in a way that it can interact with other wallets. Those are insecure from a privacy point of view. What's another stupid thing to do? Like taking your Wasabi extended public key and putting it to another application that is watching your wallet. Right. So if they are watching your wallet, you can see on your mobile that how much money you have in your Wasabi. Guess what? It's not only you can see that, but the guy who is providing you the data. So yeah.
So you just mentioned the hardware wallet. Now, if somebody wants to, again, let me clarify this for people. If you have a Trezor wallet, for example, and you connect it to the Wasabi wallet and you do like a small transaction, I mean, is it already possible with both models of the Trezor wallet to make a small transaction and, totally decouple the whole process from that's why we have a hardware wallet, I guess, you know, to decouple the whole, you know, process of entering the PIN and the whole signing and signing off and signing off.
Only Trezor Model T.
Okay.
Because that's what I had access to, but I just got, so it's with me right now. I got the Trezor, Trezor One. So now you will be able, you are already able to use Trezor One. It's just, there is a function that when you have PIN code on your Trezor One that has to be typed in the computer, mm-hmm. Now that function is not implemented yet.
Okay.
Because I didn't have a Trezor One, so I couldn't implement it. But now I have a Trezor One, so it's going to be in the next release, even though we have feature freeze. It's something that has to be done because it's so missing that it's almost like a bug to not have it.
I see. Are you guys with your team working on the or planning to make this user interface a little bit more, you know, not aesthetic is the wrong word, but really intuitive is the word I think I'm looking for. first, you know, I guess for most people who are already in the Bitcoin, you know, scenery, and they are already, you know, they have experience, it might not be a big deal. But I thought if you guys can make the user interface a little bit more, just, you know, sort of a simplified user face for the beginners, sort of, you know, for the newbies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can still have, I guess, you know, in the advanced section, okay, you got this feature and that feature, but maybe people are a little bit overwhelmed by, you know, all these, you know, clicking and boxes that you have check in, and it might be a little bit too much. Maybe simplify it a little bit. Would that be an option?
I would start with snappiness. In a way that it responds much faster and better. And I don't want to add new features except if it's really hidden from what's going on. I think we did a good job with that in the way that the first set of features, those have been implemented the first time, then we added it to the wallet. And from there on, almost every feature that we added, we somehow made it hidden, so people were not getting confused. Now, there must be some... You know what's the main issue here is that if we are zooming out of the micro, then you can see that, like with the early internet, that things were progressing so fast that user experience were not able to keep up with it. Yeah. And yeah. That's exactly the same, that we add something and then we have to fix the UI, but there is another thing we have to work on. But yes, right now it's that time when we have to work on the user interface. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm very, very, very aware of the problem.
Yeah, no, you really did a great job. I mean, I really must say, because otherwise I wouldn't have installed it, you know, otherwise I would just, yeah. So I guess, you know, as long as people, you know, can enter this, you know, the Wasabi wallet, load up the wallet, do a simple transaction, you know, send, receive, verify, whatever, your account balance. I guess if that is really easy, to, you know, feasible, then, you know, then there is no need, you know, to modify it in a, you know, in really, in a, yeah.
You know what's the issue? Yeah, we are really going into to remove the coin control feature. I mean, that would improve a lot in the user experience. There is a coin control feature which is required to use. But why is it required to use? Because if you are not aware of your coins, then you ruin your privacy. So it's required. But we need better privacy schemes. And there are, I already know some, there are better privacy schemes. Those can work in a way that you don't need the coin control feature anymore. So it's not really fixing the UI, because that's something I'm not compromising on, because it's very, very important for privacy. But implement a mix where you are not mixing to yourself, like what you are doing right now, but you are actually mixing to other people. And that's where we really have to get to. Now, I also had a very, very interesting idea before that, because in Bitcoin, if you are not aware of your coins in your wallet, then your privacy is aware. So what can you do about it to make it more user-friendly? Imagine you have a mobile wallet that basically has nothing on it except a white screen. It's a white screen. And then you start, you push it. What do you do with the white screen? You push it. And What's happening now? It throws up a Bitcoin address for you. The QR code.
Yeah, it couldn't be simpler than that. Yeah, I like it.
You send the money there.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen there? It becomes a bubble, and that bubble is your coin.
That's very nice, actually. It's a pretty cool idea. I mean, you know, it's sort of playish in a playful way. People, you know, especially for people who really for the first time, you know, are, you know, get in touch with the world of Bitcoin. And I think that would be like, wow, you know, like a wow experience, like, wow, for the first time, I'm able to do this, you know, without any help, without any assistance, without worrying about, oh my God, you know, having some kind of paranoia. And, you know, in this kind of world where, you know, you constantly have to be alert, you know, virus scanner, malware bytes, you know, all kinds of software. Is the whatever the source valid or authenticated? It's like so many things you have to think of. So if you can like take away all these worries and concerns from the first time, what do you call it, user or consumer or whatever, that would be a huge thing, I think. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those features that requires extensive graphics programming of graphics, right? Because bubbles and graphs and moving those bubbles and things like that. So it's not that easy. It's not that hard, and many people done it before. It's just not as simple showing you a list or showing you something. But still, that's a really interesting idea. I don't know how useful would it be, but I would really like to do it one day. Or maybe we won't even need the coins anymore because we just have such a good mixing techniques that we don't need coins. We'll see. Either we build the bubbles or we obsolete the coins concept.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, you're really an in-depth expert, as I see. When I scroll through your articles on medium.com, it's, by the way, medium.com for the listeners, /@nopara73, and your Twitter handler, if I, you know, just for people who want to follow you, it's the same thing, @nopara73. So can I ask you, Nopara, are there any like topics or, you know, points that you are right now working on that you can, that you are allowed or to talk about, be it, you know, for future development or visions, ideas that you guys have with your team, that you're, you know, not only write about, obviously. I mean, I have a couple of questions if we have a little bit more time. But is there like a topic that you are personally totally interested in and want to work on this really passionately in the next, I don't know, days, weeks, months?
Yes. What I'm most concerned about is the bus factor. So what we built is a sustainable project with revenue so people can, so this can be like maintained because not many things can be maintained in an open source environment. But still, way too many things are depending on me and I'm not happy. One of the things that you don't care about, most users don't care about, but I care about a lot, to add Bitcoin Core to Wasabi, to ship with Bitcoin Core, because that's very, very important for the network, the whole. And if while I am here at Wasabi, if we don't add Bitcoin Core, then it's just gonna be, you know, a business and making business decisions, and business makes no sense to add Bitcoin Core. So I just wanna add it before it becomes a business, you know, until it's a fun project, until I'm here. So Bitcoin Core integration, that's one very important thing. The other thing is that I'm not sure when it is the right time to start working on that, is that the Lightning Wallet, Lightning Network integration. I'm really not sure about that when. I'm sure about the, it must be coming, because any Bitcoin wallet who wants to stay in business that has to implement Lightning Network, because, you know, blockchains don't scale. So it's just the simple truth. What else? Hardware wallet integration. Well, we did it, but we could do in a better way. I'm not quite sure, because there are... So right now with hardware wallets, you cannot use the coin join, the mixing function, which is just terrible. Okay. So what can we can do?
Okay. Yeah. Can you explain that? The coin join, you know, for people out who are not familiar with that, what does it mean, coin join? I mean, what's the feature? What's the advantage of coin join?
Yeah, it's very simple. You have one Bitcoin, I have two Bitcoin. You create a transaction, and I create a transaction, and we join that two transaction together. And now the trick is that we have to join in a way that we don't lose the privacy, because if you send two Bitcoin to that guy, I send one Bitcoin to that guy, then it's going to be one Bitcoin input, one Bitcoin output. Mm-hmm. Two Bitcoin input, two Bitcoin output. So, you know exactly which things are matching with inputs correspond to which outputs. Mm-hmm. And this is the big trick of the centralized mixers, with the exception of cheap mixer, that they don't advertise that their things are actually working the exact same way. Just anyway, it's a hard, relatively hard concept. It's also easy, but for some people it's hard, especially for new timers. So what do you do about it? You have two Bitcoin, I have one Bitcoin. So what we do is that we create outputs in a way that two Bitcoin comes in, one Bitcoin goes out, one Bitcoin goes out, one Bitcoin comes in, one Bitcoin goes out. So you don't know which input corresponds to which outputs, which of the three outputs, because the amounts are exactly equal.
Mm-hmm. And that's called, is that still called coin join, or is that another name?
Yes. Okay. Yes, this that's coin join. Mm-hmm. There is some debate about that. Should we call coin join? It's just if multiple people come together and make a transaction, but in a way that amounts are not counted for, should we call it coin join? Some people do, some people don't. I prefer to do it because then multiple people joining their coins together. So yeah, we should call it coin join, even though it doesn't provide privacy. But anyway, yeah, there are coin joins and there are coin joins. Yeah.
Interesting. Napara, where do you see the next 5 to 10 years in this kind of process of development of evolution within the Bitcoin dimension? What do you see? What kind of vision do you have?
Yeah, that's a very, very important question. And I think it will all come down to us, right? Like, we can build an internet, Bitcoin can be the mass surveillance tool of the future. If we build it that way, that it will be the most liberating tool of the future, then maybe Maduro doesn't go through people with tanks in Venezuela, because that's it just happened in like yesterday or before yesterday, and I become really, you know, like it's just not good to see things like that.
Yeah. It's really a mess right now that's going on everywhere. And I think the sort of, as we would say in German, we would say the, you know, something is cooking inside the pot. So it's like, you know, almost, but it's like, it's, I think it's going to be something, if, you know, if things really spiral off or, you know, become unchained, this whole chain reaction of whatever monetary, financial, economical scenarios we have, I think that's going to be something, in my opinion, that we have never, you know, humanity has never had before. Whether that be, you know, in the 20s or in the or 2008 or it's that all those things that's like in the past in history will be peanuts compared to what is coming. And I think, on the other hand, what do you think about that? Do you think it's actually accelerating the what do you call it, the education, the acceptance of Bitcoin, the process of, you know, of internalization of Bitcoin? because, you know, it's sort of a yin and yang as I see it. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, really a lot of shit going on around this planet. But on the other hand, I'm like, maybe it's actually, you know, promoting. Because people are, most people, to be honest with you, I think are still, they don't have the pain points as in Venezuela, or Iran, Turkey, Argentina, you know. So I'm like, either people, this is what I always say, either people have the pain points, they feel it existentially, economically, financially, or they understand what is possible once they start, you know, learning, understanding, comprehending what it is about, and then start hodling at least a fraction of a Bitcoin.
You see, if you think about it, Bitcoin really makes no sense. If you accept that premise that our world is working properly, right? Because our central banks are doing a good job and carefully managing the money supply and interest rates. If you accept that, then Bitcoin makes no sense, because why the hell would you throw out so much electricity and accelerate global warming or whatever? Like it's just a stupid idea in that way. But if some people think, hey, maybe things don't work that well, maybe then that's when a censorship-resistant and decentralized money makes sense, because decentralization have a lot of overhead. This is the same reason why blockchains, the idea of creating blockchains makes no sense, because those people who want to build blockchains, they accept that, hey, the world is working properly, so let's build something that makes the word not working properly. See, there is a fallacy there that makes no sense in that way. So yes, the things that are happening in the world are definitely accelerating Bitcoin adoption. And this is not a good thing, because we didn't really figure out that how to scale to so many people yet. So I hope we will have, like, I don't know, 20, 30 years until really the mass comes in, because it's not that easy, you know. And if they come in, then what's going to happen? They are going to use all Coinbase, because our decentralized paradise is just full of bugs and doesn't work and not compatible with each other. So yeah, we have to do a lot of engineering and hope the world is not going to collapse before we are ready for it. Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah, well said. Let me ask you one thing about, because you wrote an article, I found it pretty hilarious what you wrote. Where is it? The Bitcoins of Satoshi Nakamoto. I don't find it on this page.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So my question is, I always thought about, why did Satoshi Nakamoto, if I was Satoshi Nakamoto, because I always say, okay, let me put myself into his shoes. If I had the knowledge and had the vision, the ethos of Satoshi Nakamoto, and then, and as he, you know, as we know, he reserved for himself 1 million Bitcoins. That's 1/21th, right, of the total amount of Bitcoins of 21 million. So why would he do that? Would he have, I mean, do you think he had an intention behind that? Maybe I'm too much into science fiction right now, but the reason I'm asking is that, what if he, you know, what if he thought to himself, if humanity, you know, becomes evolved and the whole thing, you know, processes so fast and people finally accept it as the one monetary root layer. If I was Satoshi Nakamoto, I would wait until that moment and then redistribute until that time, the one Bitcoin would be worth, I don't know, 100,000, a million, whatever amount, but an exponential value. And then sort of distribute that to everybody who has, you know, a public address. I mean, it sounds a little bit stupid what I'm saying, maybe, but I'm just thinking, why did he reserve the 1 million Satoshi bitcoins for himself, do you think?
Yeah, I think he's just messing around with these, like we are messing around with testnet coins, right? Like Nicola Dorier sent me 100 testnet coin about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. I have 10 testnet coin left. I don't know what happened to it.
Okay.
So, you're developing and getting shit down, and you don't have time to care about these worthless things, even if, you know, you really need those testnet coins, because it's just such a pain to get those back. And I think this is the simplest explanation, but it is possible that some kind of grander plan behind it. I don't know. That would be actually good because of quantum computers, right? Quantum computers able to steal it, then they will steal it. And what are we doing? We can hard fork it, but we are not going to hard fork it because there is no consensus to that. So they are going to steal it. Not the first quantum computers, not Google, not Microsoft, who knows? But when it really becomes something that everyday people or the first quantum hacker in the world, like, you know, to get back that money, it's a really, really, really good question. That I think there is no grandiose plan behind it. He was just messing around and lost it one by one. That's
really my... Okay. That's interesting. Okay, because we're talking about 1 million bitcoins. I mean, that, you know, if it was just, you know, I thought he was just playing around. You know, he could have reserved for himself. I don't know. Or
yeah, you know, we don't really know if it's his. There was Chainalysis who was doing a webinar on Bitcoin whales, and they said they don't consider Satoshi a Bitcoin whale because they don't really know if he, you know, there is no way to really guess. Hey, are these coins really Satoshi's? Just mm-hmm. Some people were saying, oh, Satoshi was actually still attacking the Bitcoin network in order to be able to do hard forks early on. But really, no one really knows what Satoshi was doing because it's so wug.
I see. Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Nopara, what would you do? You have any final comments? I mean, I'm gonna put up your links and information, but are there any final thoughts or comments or anything you know you want to share with people that you think is really important to know at this stage?
Yes, I think you should get shit done. And by getting shit done, I mean, you choose your wallet, what's the most appropriate for the things that you want to do in your life. And you don't have to try anything out because it's cool. That would be my thing. I mean, I'm not happy when people say very basic questions because that takes away developer time. And I mean, you know, I'm getting there. I'm developing the software in a way that you don't have to ask that anymore. So maybe if you're somewhat familiar with Bitcoin, then feel free to try out Wasabi. But otherwise, maybe it's not for you, you know, not yet anyway.
Okay. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Nopara, for your time. And it was really insightful, and you're really knowledgeable. I can see that. It just, I think people really need to educate themselves and open up and really ask the right questions. And unfortunately, I mean, for the German-speaking people, there's a lot of, most of the stuff is in English. but this is, you know, I mean, I'm also doing podcasts and videos in German so that the German speak people who really don't understand or speak any word of English can follow up on these kind of things. So, you know, education, I guess, is really essential thing to emphasize every time. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Hope to get you on my show next time on some other maybe insightful topics. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.